It's Not Just You with Stacy and Lynn, a safe place to talk about issues and life, especially the things most people don't want to discuss. Now, here are your hosts, Stacy DeFord and Lynn Montemare on Empower Radio.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Stacy DeFord.
And I'm Lynn Montemare.
And we'd like to thank our sponsors, of course, SeatSitters.com and Artistry by Annette, where I'm still feeling the effects of my last facial. Love the hydrofacial that Annette does. It's like that vampire facial that you see all the celebrities get, but they leave and they've got like, looks like blood all over their face. That's why it's called the vampire facial. But the one Annette does, she's got this new machine and there is no downtime. Like you could leave and go to a meeting and no one would ever know that you just got this very intense, very deep facial.
And actually, I've done that. I've left and gone to a meeting.
Have you really?
Yes. And no one has said anything.
Like, exactly. Yeah. No, it's amazing. And my skin glows for, I swear, weeks afterwards. She does such a great job. And right now, all new clients, 20% off their first treatment. 248-980-6235. You can give Annette a call. She wants to meet you. She will tell you what's best for your skin. 248-980-6235. Of course, you can find all the information about her and our other sponsor on our website, StacyandLynnPodcast.com, or on our Facebook page or any of our social media. And it's funny, maybe you're like nervous about going to see a new facialist because it's outside your comfort zone.
Right.
Which takes us right into today's topic.
Getting outside your comfort zone.
Which I have to tell you, it's funny. You said, oh, maybe we should do this as a topic. And last week, my husband had bought me golf classes for my birthday. And so I signed up for them and they started last week. And I've golfed very little. I feel like I don't know all of the rules and don't always understand everything. And it's very much outside my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And so I went up last week and I went early and I was just like shopping around the store. It was at Carl's.
Yeah.
We all go to Carl's.
Yeah.
And I was shopping around the store just to make myself more comfortable.
Right.
And then finally I went up to the counter and I said, I had some shoes that were the wrong size and I traded them in. So I went to the guy behind the counter and I'm like, hey, I'm here for the golf class. And he goes, well, you're going to want to put those shoes on. And I immediately felt like, I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. Am I the only one without my shoes on?
And he goes, do you have clubs? I'm like, they're in the car. And I didn't know if I'd need clubs for this class. I threw them in case. And he's like, you're going to need those. But he was so nice about it, you know, gently leading me towards the right thing to do. And then he said, go do that. Come back in and just go down there and go all the way to the end. But I was, when there's something like that, when it's unfamiliar to me, when especially when I'm not sure I'm going to do the right thing, it takes all my willpower to make myself do it.
Right.
Is that normal?
Yeah. Because
you think?
I do. Oh okay. My gosh, for sure. Because I think golfing was out of my comfort zone too when I first started. And if you see me golf right now, you would think I just started now, but I've been golfing
for
years.
You think it's still out of your comfort zone?
But what was the part that was really out of my comfort zone is when you have to golf with other golfers who aren't like your friends. So you're golfing in a work thing for, you know, with clients. Or, you know, and they stick you in these things because, you know, they need like a few girls from the company at the golf outing and some guys because it's like a mixed thing usually. And they would put me with like all the guys that show up at these things are usually really good golfers.
Of course.
So I would always find that I was using a lot of humor to get out of this mess. You know, like I'd say when I go up to the tee shot, which is the most terrifying part for me, like if everyone could just turn around and look at the other direction, please. And they're like, you're going to be fine. And I'm like, no. And I'm literally like sweating bullets. And I'm like, why am I doing this? This is not comfortable. But then after you do it, which I find with a lot of these things, you're like really happy you went through with it and did it.
Yes.
Which I'm sure you were after your golf class.
And I thoroughly enjoyed the class and I loved the teacher and he gave great advice. And it's funny because my husband was asking me later about it. And he said, so how were the other women in your class? I'm like, I don't know. I did not look at them. I concentrated on what I was doing and listening to the instructor. And I didn't think about that.
Well, see, that's really good because I probably would be like, oh my gosh, are these other women looking at me like, you know, what is she, you know, thank God she's here. And then they say, well, how long have you been golfing? Oh, 20 years. Oh my God, really? I just started last week. But well, that's good if you were in the zone though and you were like enjoying it and you weren't paying attention to how everyone else was doing.
I was just I feel like I got four classes and I need to make the most of them. I need to get every single dollar's worth so I can get better.
Yeah.
So I was just like, yeah, I guess I was in a zone. But it's funny. I think I've been very aware of being comfortable in places ever since I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people, I remember even when I was young, there were some people I knew who no matter where they were, they acted like they belonged.
Mm.
They acted like they owned the room.
Yeah.
And I never had that confidence. I never had that, you know, I never felt like that. And that was one thing I always wanted to raise my children to look and mostly feel like they belonged anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I did it. I think they're better than me, but I already think
like your daughter moved out of the state for a job. She went on great trips. I mean, to me, kind of getting out there and, you know,
yeah,
being
you're right.
confident and comfortable.
She is better than me.
When I see people that move out of the state when they're young,
yeah.
like her, I'm always like, I'm so jealous. Like, why didn't I ever think, you know, I'm going to move to Broadway. I mean, I'm going to move to New York. Wait, that was a Freddy's Broadway. That's where I would want to be if I moved to New York. How did I just do that? But yeah.
Now we all know where Lynn would be comfortable.
I would love that. But why didn't I like ever think, you know, I'm going to go here or, you know, I'm going to move to California. I see a lot of young people now moving to California or New York all the time. And it's just like, I'm so jealous of that. Like how great for them.
I know. Well, I had, when I was younger, before I got into radio, I was a stand-up comic.
Mm-hmm.
So I was traveling around the Midwest, and I did have friends that moved out to L.A. I don't think anyone was really moving to New York then. Most of them were moving to L.A. And I remember thinking I eventually want to do that, but
yeah.
it didn't seem capable.
Right.
I didn't seem capable at
like
the time.
Like when I would travel for work, and anytime I went to like a city like Chicago or New York, and the hustle and the bustle and everyone running around, I'm like, this is where I belong. You know what I mean? This is what I should be doing. But like, I never felt comfortable enough to do it, you know? And it was like always, as I was sitting there, I mean, as I was always there at those meetings, I'd be like, why didn't I ever think you love it so much? You should go out there. Like you just said, it never seemed possible.
But, it didn't.
But it is possible.
It was possible. Other people do it.
Other people do it all the time.
They do. They move all over the place. And I don't know, like, I'm also the type of person who I know if I will let my life get very small,
mm-hmm.
and I will have to, especially if the weather's bad and I don't know, I'm not feeling it, I'll stay in my house for days on end.
And I'm happy there.
I'm happy.
Not at your house. Okay. I mean, I probably would be too, but I mean, in my house, I like to do that and I'm happy.
I am too. But at the same time, I also become very aware that I don't want to say this because I don't want it to come off as flippant, but I totally understand how people get agoraphobic,
mm-hmm.
you know, and agoraphobia is those are the people who can't leave their house.
Right, right.
Like it gives them such anxiety. They can't even walk outdoors. And I've been to that point a couple times
mm-hmm.
where I'm like, okay, I could see this tipping over.
Mm-hmm.
I could see how you don't ever, because it's safe here,
right.
and I know where everything is
right.
here. And I think what is the scariest part about getting out of our comfort zones?
Well, I think for me, it's like, you know, embarrassing myself or failure or, you know, the idea of, you know, maybe falling down and having to get yourself back up again. I mean, I think a good example is you and I about, I don't know, year and a half ago now, started taking improv classes.
Yeah.
Okay. And
I still feel bad about it.
Right. Because when you said, hey, there's this cool, you know, improv class going on, we should take it. And I was like, at that point, looking for something new and thought, yeah, let's do it. And I know that we both did not go to the same first class because I had something and then you had something. So we weren't there at the same time. And they announced our class show,
yeah.
you know, in 8 weeks.
That was a shock.
Class show. Yes. And I was in literally because you weren't there. And I was like, what the heck has she got? What a class show? what are you talking about? And they were like, yeah, at our comedy club. And like, what's involved in this? Oh, you know, we sell tickets. We sell tickets. All I can imagine was having to pay everyone back, you know, because they didn't get their money's worth. I literally also thought about buying all the tickets so that no one could come. I mean, mm-hmm. I had all these thoughts going through my head. And then I call you and you were like, what? They didn't mention a class show. And I said, yeah, there's a class show that we have to do. And I will tell you that for 8 weeks, I was in complete like dread of this show. I was so nervous.
I think I was in denial. Oh, like, that's not really going to happen.
Dread. I was like praying for things like maybe I'll break my leg and then I can't go on the stage, or maybe I'll have a small accident that's nothing too life-threatening, but enough where I can't do improv. I mean, I'm not lying. All these things went through my head. Maybe I'll, you know, get some sort of infection and have to be hospitalized for 3 days. Anything to get me out of this. And to my
dismay,
nothing happened.
Except you were really good at the class show. And it's funny because I felt the same way. Like the 24 hours before the class show, I'm miserable because all I can do is imagine how horribly it's going to go wrong.
I feel like everyone's mad at me. I feel like my life is terrible. I feel like, you know, the flowers aren't blooming, the sun's not shining, you know, there's a cloud over my head. I'm like, ugh. And then like, and so, you know, after
but that's
all
how
of
I
this,
felt about going to that that's how I felt about going to that golf class, because I'm like, I don't know anybody here. Yeah. I don't know the instructor. They don't know me. They don't know how terrible I am and how hard I've tried to learn and where I am. You know, it's like, and I go in, and I think part of my problem with the comfort zone thing is I don't trust myself to, even though I obviously can do it, mm-hmm. but I don't trust myself to be able to do the right things at the appropriate things.
Right.
At the appropriate place where I am.
Right. Well, so with that being said, we ended up taking improv.
Yeah.
Four more times after that, which you would think, what, why? But it's because I literally did it with the idea of I've got to get out of my comfort zone. Yeah. Why am I feeling like you were feeling going to a golf class? Why am I feeling like I'm walking in there? And I mean, because in these classes, you get right up and start doing stuff. I mean, it's not like get to know your classmates for, you know, two sessions and then you guys start getting up and performing in front of each other. It's like, introduce yourself. Why are you here? And everybody get up and let's start improvising. And you're like, what? And you have to be in a
character.
Are
you going to teach us how first?
Right. Exactly.
No,
you're just going to get up there. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And you've got to make faces and be characters and, you know, and even though they tell you improv isn't always about trying to be funny, everyone's kind of trying to have some humor to what they're doing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So when you don't, you feel like, oh, shoot, I really let the class down, or I let myself down, or, you know, and then you leave and you're really, you do this a lot more than I do. You leave and you like call me and you're like going over the whole 3-hour class of one you could have done better than that one. And me, my mind is my friend because it blocks everything out I did. So I'm like, I don't even remember we did that. What? Like, we just had a show last week, and my son's like, oh, and when you said this line, that was good. I go, I said that line? And he's like, yeah, you said it. I was like, oh, my God. Okay. Well, I guess that was good. I didn't even know I did that.
Oh, I am an overanalyzer. And I don't think it was quite clear. I feel the need to make this clear. I analyze myself. I did not analyze you.
No. You always are talking about yourself.
Oh, yeah. I analyze myself to death.
Yeah.
After everything. And I think that contributes to my problem with getting outside my comfort zone is because I know once I return back to my safe place, that little part of my brain is going to go, oh, look what you did there.
Oh,
you messed that up. See, I've got, there's a part of my brain that does not like me.
Mm.
And I don't know why it insists on staying since it doesn't like me.
Right, get out.
But it stays. And all it wants to do is judge me and everything I do.
Mm, that's not good.
No. And I mean, honestly, it makes me feel kind of insane to say that.
Right.
Like, because who else has got somebody else living inside their head? Remy, our producer.
Wait, someone's inside there?
Everybody. I'm just going to say everybody has that. Yeah, everybody's got that little negative voice. And it's part of what becoming a better person is all about, is trying to squash that negative voice down and be more positive about yourself.
You know, we have found many times after the podcast that Remy is the voice of reason.
Totally.
And all that is good. Because listen to those words he just said, because even when Stacey was saying that, I was thinking, I kind of feel like I have a little bit of that. I mean, I'm Because I'm always worried about what other people are thinking, right? But that's really me.
Yeah.
And like after that one show we did about judging, Remy said, I hate to say this, this is harsh, but if you don't want to feel it judge anymore, then you have to stop judging. And I was like, oh, what? I'm judging people? And then I was like, I didn't mean to be judging people. And I don't think I'm judging them badly. I always felt like I was judging them good. Like, oh, wow, she must really go to the facialist like every week because her skin's so glowing. Or she probably, you know, I thought I was doing that. But yeah, I mean, I am having those thoughts in my head. And if we could get rid of that and this little, you know, judgy part of our brain.
Judgy,
you know,
McJudgy pants.
Yes,
that's
exactly
what I call it.
Yes.
Or sometimes I call myself that.
But something you
that.
Shouldn't worry about being judged about is keeping yourself healthy.
Well, you know what? I was just going to say, I judge people who get on planes when they're sick.
Oh,
I do.
See?
I do, and I will continue to do so.
Well, then you know that airplanes are filled with nasty, nasty germs, thousands mm-hmm. of them. And I'm sure you've noticed that a lot of times after you fly or friends fly, they always say, oh, I got sick. I think it was from that dang airplane full of germs. And all of us were doing everything we can to keep ourselves healthy. So why not take advantage of the things out there that can keep us from getting sick? Like Seat Sitters. Seat Sitters is a travel kit that was created for clean, healthy travel. The kit comes with a seat cover, a tray table cover, two sanitary wipes, an allergy mask, and a no-nut sticker if that's something you or someone in your family deals with. And you get all this for under $20 per kit, and you can fly healthy with SeatSitters.com. So don't spend another vacation with a sick family member or get back from vacation and you had such a great time and now you're back to the real world and now you're sick because of the germs you encountered on the way back. Order your Seat Sitter kit today at SeatSitters.com.
All right, so to take this a step further, and I think this is veering into not just comfort zone, but probably anxiety, mm-hmm. which I think a lot more people feel than, well, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just projecting because I know I do. But like I know I also, besides not going outside my comfort zone, I will also be at a point where sometimes I'll be like, oh, I would like to call so-and-so and do something, but I'm sure they're busy. I haven't heard from them, or I could see on Facebook they're doing all these things. So I will not call people that I want to see because I don't want to bother them or make them feel like, oh God, Stacey called. That's so sad. She must have nothing going
what?
On.
Yes.
That, yes.
I think that is a bigger part of your brain than you're thinking it is because that is really like judging yourself, like putting yourself like on this thing where you think people don't want to hear from you.
Yeah, like, but it's what? Also a little bit, I've come to realize that's a little bit narcissistic too, because it's like, I don't think people aren't thinking of me. I think they're thinking of me and not liking me, but I think they're thinking of me. Okay. So
what?
So it's a little, I'm the overanalyzer. I'm very well aware of all my
wow
idiosyncrasies.
Come
believe
on, I would
me.
Never think that part was coming from you because you have all your friends. You have a lot of friends, but you've also had them for a long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm very lucky.
And you're very likable and people love hearing from you. I can tell you I love hearing from you. So don't ever think that.
But I don't know. I think that I read this thing once years ago that said everybody has like seven places that are their comfort zones, mm-hmm. where they seven places you go most often.
Okay.
Like where you spend like 80% of your time.
Okay.
So like if you think about it, like home, work, church, if that's your thing, your kid's school, mm-hmm. or your kid's couple of different schools, like the, you know, where you work out, mm-hmm. the places that you spend the majority of your time that you return to on a daily basis. Oh, the grocery store. Mm-hmm. I'm at the grocery store every day. And it's funny, I don't need groceries every day. I think I go to the grocery store almost every day because it's comfortable.
Really? See, that's crazy.
Well, no, I like it there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess I didn't mean crazy
in
a bad way.
Oh, my God. I'm so pathetic.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, like.
Remy's shaking his head. Like, that is so sad.
You two are just cracking me up right now. I was thinking the bar, you know.
I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, the bar is a good, comfortable place.
There's Starbucks.
The grocery store.
I feel happy, like, when I meet someone there, it just seems like relaxing and stuff.
Oh, I think it used to for me, but it doesn't anymore. I don't know why. No.
You think the lady on the Starbucks cup is looking at you strangely?
I don't know.
Statue or whatever she is. But like, you know, like where my husband golfs.
Yeah.
We've, you know, gone there for like 20 years. I've never really felt comfortable there.
Wow.
I never, ever have felt comfortable there. I don't feel like, you know, I really belong there. I'm the girl that's, it's just not my thing. And it makes me like really, I mean, it's not just not comfortable, like I'm uncomfortable there.
Well, it's so funny, we keep going back to golf. But so my husband golfs, but he golfs someplace different every time he golfs. Like he has a few favorite places he goes back to, but for the most part, it's like where he can find a deal, what's close to the guys he's golfing with, a place. And I'm like, and maybe it's just being on a golf course that makes him feel comfortable. But that to me is so, if I think about him being at a different place every week, that gives me so much anxiety.
Really?
Yeah, because I know I wouldn't like to do it.
Right.
So I even the thought of him doing it gives me anxiety.
You're getting anxiety from other people's comfort zones and where they're comfortable at?
Well, because I'm not sure he thinks about comfort zones.
Oh, probably not.
Yeah. Well, how are people who don't think about comfort zones, how do they do that?
Right.
That is what I want to know. Like if you're listening to this right now going, get out of your comfort zone, what are you girls even talking about?
Right.
Please call me because I want to know how you live with how.
Right. I don't know. I know what you mean, though.
Yeah. I feel like there must be some people like that. Or maybe my husband. I mean, he is quite comfortable on the couch in the evenings.
Well, I kind of describe those people as happy-go-lucky. They're just like, I'm going. It's a new experience. What's there to offer me? Find something that makes me happy. Like you said, like the seven comfort zones. What I like to do is if I find something that makes me comfortable at a place I'm not. For instance, at this golf club, you know, I have like one good friend there. Uh-huh. And if I'm golfing with her, I'm always comfortable because we listen to loud music on the golf course. Yes, because it's girls' night and we're kind of allowed to. And, you know, if I drink some kind of weird drink or dip my pickles in ketchup or you know, all these other weird things that we might do out there, cheese and pretzels. I mean, because at the little halfway house, they have like little snacks you get. And if there's pickles, I might get ketchup with them. Or if there's pretzels, we might get mustard or cheese. And I don't feel like if I drop mustard or cheese on my shirt, she's like, girl, you're a slob. We're like laughing about it. I mean, you should see the things I've done like on that golf course where, and I'm not saying like bad things.
Yeah.
I mean, one time, oh my gosh, this is really bad. I showed up and my golf clubs and bag had been in the garage for like all winter.
And
I was, you know, at the last minute, pulled my golf clubs and my shoes and everything out of the garage to golf for the first time that season. And I was with a bunch of girls that time, but my one comfort friend was with me, you know, who always makes me not feel so bad. And not that the other ones make me feel bad, but I mean, I just feel comfort with them. And I was like, God, there's like pebbles in my shoes or something. I don't know what's in my shoes. And I golfed for like two holes before I took my shoes off and realized that there must have been a family of mice living in my shoes.
Stop it.
There was.
No.
Yes. Mice droppings and bird seed, because we put two and two together that this bird seed bag had opened and fell into my shoes, so that's why they were in there.
That's why the mice were going in?
Yes.
Like and buffet!
Right. And her and I were dying. We can't even, we're laughing so hard. We are like crying. We're laughing so hard. Now, I'm sure the other women were looking at horror with me like, oh my God, what? And my one friend says, just take the lining out of your shoe, hit it on the cart, and then flip it upside down and put it in the other shoe. You know, so I would still have a lining, but... So the other ones are like, burn them now.
That would be me.
I was like, how did this is things that only happened to me. You know what I mean? Who else has mice living in their golf shoes? And people were like, did you not notice that your laces were chewed up? Well, I didn't because I thought they were knotted.
Oh.
So in the car, I just like kind of like pulled them real tight and tied them in. I was like, how did they get all knotted is what I was thinking. Well, they had been chewed up. So it was hilarious. So this is just stuff that happens to me at these clubs where I already feel uncomfortable. And then this happens. How does it happen? I don't know. But so I find like little things, like I'm happy when I'm with her. So if I'm with her and we're there, then it's like a good night.
Well,
for
that's
me.
Good advice. So if you want to go, because I feel like we should give our listeners some takeaway.
Yeah.
So if you want to go or if you need to go to a place that's outside of your comfort zone, go with somebody who you feel very comfortable with.
Well, that's how we did improv together.
That is how we did improv together.
I never would have done this by myself.
I may have. It
would have
taken me a lot longer. Mm-hmm. Just because I really, really, really wanted to do it. More than you did, I think. You got dragged along. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's fine. I'm happy I did it now. We graduated.
I know.
Happy we did it now.
We did. I posted a picture of my what is it called? Your graduation certificate, mm-hmm. my diploma.
Yeah.
I posted a picture of that today.
And I think so I'm commenting that they are doing public speaking.
Yes.
And actually, that's my friend Kathy from high school. And I have talked to her. She might actually come and be a guest on our podcast.
Excellent.
In the upcoming months. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So she's getting out and doing things. She's a younger widow.
That's one of my favorite jokes. I cannot remember the comedian. Maybe it was Jerry Seinfeld who said that the number one, people's number one fear is public speaking. Number two is death.
Oh, wow.
And so if these people were at a funeral, they would rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy.
Oh, wow. That is crazy. But that is crazy.
So talk about being uncomfortable.
Right. And where would you find your comfort?
Would you find your comfort zone there?
Yeah. Because even going to a funeral sometimes, like the viewing is uncomfortable for me.
Yes.
Because you walk in and
you've never been to that
funeral. Or you don't know a lot of the people there. You only know like a few members of the family. And, you know, it's just, it is uncomfortable.
And I will tell you this. So if you have anxiety like me, and I had to go to a funeral home a couple months ago, if you have anxiety like me and that little crazy part of your brain mm-hmm. that hates you, you will pull into the parking lot and that little part of your brain will try to convince you that you've forgotten the widow's name.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, it did. For 5 minutes, I sat there in my car arguing with myself.
What?
Yeah. It's like, you don't know her name. You don't know her name. You think her name's Michelle. It's not Michelle. And I'm like, wait, I know it's not Michelle. I know her name. No, you don't. You think it's Michelle. My brain was arguing with me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. You're both shaking your heads.
Well, wow. I would have been like, could you look her up on Facebook?
I did.
Okay.
Because that little part of my brain doesn't know I can use Facebook.
Right. Ha-ha. Yeah, so I've gone to the funeral home and actually watch people walking in. Uh-huh. And I'll be like, okay, see, they're walking in. I can walk in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just do it. And it's like the, you know, what people say, you're there for the living. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's, no one's expecting you to come up with a new catchphrase for death that's going to make everything feel better, because people worry about, what am I going to say to them? What if I say something wrong? And having lived through that, as I'm sure, you know, you've been through that.
Just be there for
them.
Just
be there. You show up. You give a hug. You say if you need anything. You follow up and, you know, a week after to make sure they don't need anything, and you check in often. But it's just being there, even if it's for 1 minute.
It is. No, and I know that, and I know you know that, and we would love to hear your thoughts on getting out of your comfort zone. Please comment. Please let us know what you think. Again, we can revisit this topic again.
Yeah, let us know what you're doing, because we might want to try it.
Yes, especially
if you'll go with us.
Especially me. Yeah. Especially me. I won't bring the crazy part of my brain, though, I promise. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you next week.